Chapter 2, The Loss of Innocence. Humans by nature are very sensitive beings. We are so emotional because we perceive everything with the emotional body. The emotional body is like a radio that can be tuned to perceive and react to certain frequencies. The normal frequency of humans before domestication is to explore and to enjoy life. We are tuned to love. As children, we don't have any definition of love as an abstract concept. We just live love. It's the way we are. Our emotional body perceives emotions, and it has an alarm system to let us know when something is wrong. That alarm system is fear. Children can easily perceive when someone is angry. They can feel emotions, and their reasoning mind doesn't interpret or question them. Their alarm system generates a little fear that says, "Stay away," and they follow their instinct. When children don't feel confident around someone, they reject that person because they can feel the emotions that are being projected. Every child reacts differently according to how they learn to defend themselves and adapt to different circumstances. We learn to be emotional according to the emotional energy in our home and our personal reaction to that energy. When our parents are constantly fighting, when there is disharmony, disrespect, and lies, we learn the emotional way of being like them. Even if they tell us not to be that way and not to lie, the emotional energy of our parents, of our entire family, will make us perceive the world in a similar way. The emotional energy that lives in our home tunes our emotional body to that frequency. The emotional body starts to change its tune, and it is no longer the normal tune of the human being. We play the game of the adults. We play the game of the outside dream. And we lose our innocence. We lose our freedom, our happiness, our tendency to love. We are forced to change, and we start perceiving another reality, the reality of injustice, the reality of emotional pain, the reality of emotional poison. Welcome to hell, the hell that humans create, which is the dream of the planet. We are welcomed into that hell, but we don't invent it personally. It was here before we were born. You can see how real love and freedom are destroyed by looking at children. Imagine that you were 2 or 3 years old. You were happy. You were playing and exploring. You aren't conscious of what is good or bad, what is right or wrong, what you should or shouldn't be doing, because you are not yet domesticated. You are playing in the living room with whatever is around you. You don't have any bad intention, but you are playing with your daddy's guitar. For you, it's just a toy. You don't try to hurt your daddy at all, but your father is having one of those days when he doesn't feel right. He has problems in his business, and he finds you in the living room playing with his things. He gets mad right away, and he spanks you. This is injustice from your point of view, and that sense of injustice is like a pain in your heart. You feel hurt and start to cry. But it's not just the physical aggression that hurts you. It's the emotional aggression you feel is not fair. You didn't do anything. Your father just hurt you, and this was someone you trusted completely. Your daddy is someone who usually protects you and allows you to play and allows you to be you. That sense of injustice opens a wound in your emotional body, and in that moment you lose a little part of your innocence. You learn that you cannot always trust your father. Even if your mind doesn't know that yet because your mind doesn't analyze, it still understands, I cannot trust. Your emotional body tells you there is something you cannot trust, and that something can be repeated. Your reaction might be fear. It might be anger, or being shy, or just crying. But that reaction is already emotional poison. Because the normal reaction before domestication is that your daddy spanks you and you want to hit him back. You hit him back or just intend to put your hand up, and that makes your father even madder at you. The reaction of your father for putting your hand up against him creates a worse punishment. Now you are afraid of him, and you no longer defend yourself because you know it will only make things worse. Before this experience, your mind was completely healthy. You were completely innocent. After this experience, you learn to react in a certain way, your personal way. Humans use fear to domesticate humans, and your fear increases with each experience of injustice. You keep the emotion of fear with you, and it changes your way of life. The reasoning mind tries to do something with the experience, which will repeat itself more often now. The injustice will come from mom and dad, from brothers and sisters, from aunts and uncles, from school, from society, from everyone. With each fear, you learn to defend yourself, but not the way you did before domestication, when you would defend yourself and just keep playing. The sense of injustice is the knife that opens a wound in our emotional body. Emotional poison is created by our reaction to what we consider injustice. Some wounds will heal. Others will become infected with more and more poison. When the emotional poison accumulates, the mind begins to play with that poison. Now we start to worry a little about the future because we have the memory of the poison and we don't want that to happen again. We also have memories of being accepted. We remember mom and dad being good to us and living in harmony, but we don't know how to create it. And because we are inside the bubble of our own perception, whatever happens around us now seems as if it is because of us. We believe mom and dad fight because of us, even if it doesn't have anything to do with us. Little by little, we lose our innocence. We start to feel resentment. Then we no longer forgive. Over time, these incidents and interactions let us know it's not safe to be who we really are. Of course, this will vary in intensity with each human according to his intelligence and education. It will depend on many things. If you were lucky, the domestication is not that strong. But if you are not so lucky, the domestication can be so strong and the wounds so deep that you can even be afraid to speak. Once we are full of emotional poison, we have the need to release it, and we practice releasing the poison by sending it to someone else. How do we do this? By hooking that person's attention. Let's take an example of an ordinary couple. For whatever reason, the wife is mad. She has a lot of emotional poison from an injustice that comes from her husband. The husband is not home, but she remembers that injustice, and the poison is growing inside her. When the husband comes home, the first thing she wants to do is hook his attention, because once she hooks his attention, all the poison can go to her husband, and she can feel the relief. As soon as she tells him how bad he is, how stupid, or how unfair he is, that poison she has inside her is transferred to the husband. She keeps talking until she gets his attention. The husband finally reacts and gets mad, and she feels better. But now the poison is going through him, and he has to get even. He has to hook her attention and release the poison. But it's not just her poison, it's her poison plus his poison. If you look at this interaction, you will see that they are touching each other's wounds and playing ping-pong with emotional poison until one of them explodes. This is often how humans relate with each other. The attention is something very powerful in the human mind. By hooking the attention, the energy goes from one person to another person. Everyone around the world is hunting the attention of others all the time. When we capture the attention, we create channels of communication. The dream is transferred, power is transferred, but emotional poison is transferred also. Usually, we release the poison with the person we think is responsible for the injustice. But if that person is so powerful that we cannot send it to him, we don't care who we send it to. We send it to the little ones who have no defense against us, and that is how abusive relationships are formed. The people of power abuse the people who have less power because they need to release their emotional poison. Sometimes we don't want justice. We just want to release. We want peace. That is why humans are hunting power all the time, because the more powerful we are, the easier it is to release the poison to the ones who cannot defend themselves. Of course, we are talking about relationships in hell. We are talking about the mental disease that exists on this planet. There is no one to blame for this disease. It is not good or bad or right or wrong. It is simply the normal pathology of this disease. No one is guilty for being abusive. Just as people on that imaginary planet are not guilty because their skin is sick, you are not guilty because you have wounds infected with poison. What is important is to have the awareness that we have this problem. If we have the awareness, we have the opportunity to heal our emotional body and stop the suffering. Without the awareness, there is nothing we can do. The only thing we can do is to keep suffering from the interaction with other humans, but not just with other humans, the interaction with our own self, because we also touch our own wounds just to be punished. In our mind, we create the judge. The judge is always judging everything we do, everything we don't do, everything we feel, everything we don't feel. We are judging ourselves all the time, and we are judging everyone else based on what we believe and based on the sense of justice and injustice. Of course, we find ourselves guilty and we need to be punished. The other part of our mind that receives the judgment and has the need to be punished is the victim. That part of us says, "Poor me. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not intelligent enough. Why should I try?" When you were a child, you could not choose what to believe and what not to believe. The judge and the victim are based on all those false beliefs you didn't choose. When that information went into your mind, you were innocent. You believed everything. The belief system was put inside you like a program by the outside dream. The Toltec called this program the parasite. The human mind is sick because it has a parasite, which is all those beliefs that make us suffer. Those beliefs are so strong that years later, when we learn new concepts and try to make our own decisions, we find those beliefs still control our lives. The parasite spreads like a disease from our grandparents to our parents to ourselves, and then we give it to our own children. We put all those programs inside our children the same way we train a dog. Humans are domesticated animals, and domestication leads us into the dream of hell where we live in fear. Before we get the parasite, we enjoy life, we play, we are happy. But after all that garbage is put into our minds, we are no longer happy. With awareness, we can easily understand why relationships don't work. With our parents, our children, our friends, our partner, and even with ourselves. Why doesn't the relationship with ourselves work? Because we are wounded and our mind is full of emotional poison. Because we grew up with an image of perfection that is not true, and in our mind it isn't fair. We have seen how we create that image of perfection to please other people, mom and dad, our teacher or minister, our religion, and God. But the truth is that from their point of view, we are never going to be perfect. That image of perfection tells us how we should be in order to acknowledge that we are good, in order to accept ourselves. But guess what? This is the biggest lie we believe about ourselves, because we are never going to be perfect, and there is no way that we can forgive ourselves for not being perfect. The image of perfection changes the way we dream. We learn to deny ourselves and reject ourselves. We are never good enough, or right enough, or clean enough, or healthy enough, according to all those beliefs we have. There is always something the judge can never accept or forgive. That is why we reject our own humanity. That is why we never deserve to be happy. That is why we are searching for someone who will abuse and punish us. We have a very high level of self-abuse because of that image of perfection. When we reject ourselves and judge ourselves and find ourselves guilty and punish ourselves, it looks like there is only punishment, only suffering, only judgment in this world instead of love. Hell has many different levels. Some people are very deep in hell, and other people are hardly in hell, but still they are in hell. There are very abusive relationships in hell and relationships with hardly any abuse. But you are no longer a child. And if you have an abusive relationship, it is because you accept that abuse. You believe you deserve it. You have a limit to the amount of abuse you will accept, but no one in the whole world abuses you more than you abuse yourself. And the limit of your self-abuse is the limit you will tolerate from other people. If someone abuses you more than you abuse yourself, you walk away, you run, you escape. But if someone abuses you a little less than you abuse yourself, perhaps you stay longer because you believe you deserve that abuse. Of course, energy attracts the same kind of energy, the same vibration. If someone comes to you and says, "Oh, I am so abused," and you ask, "Well, why do you stay there?" He doesn't even know why. The truth is he needs that abuse because that is the way he punishes himself. Life brings to you exactly what you need. There is perfect justice in hell. There is nothing to blame. We can even say that your suffering is a gift. if you just open your eyes and see what's around you, it's exactly what you need to clean your poison, to heal your wounds, to accept yourself, and to get out of hell.